This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar: glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly radio program in which we answer your questions. You can call us at 877-726-8255. And I got a lot of important features to share with you this week. We're going to start off by talking about how broken our healthcare system is. Doctors and nurses are so exhausted and beaten down that many of them work like zombies, according to a new report released Tuesday. We'll cover that for you in just a moment. Also, a report on waste in the U.S. healthcare system. 25% of our huge healthcare expenditures fundamentally are wasted. But there's hope, because in this week's issue of Journal of the American Medical Association, a prestigious journal, there's a study about the kind of medicine that I do, functional medicine, and how it improves patient outcomes. 877-726-8255 is our number. We'll get to those important stories and many others in just a moment. By the way, 877-726-8255 will enable you to record a question 24/7. So even if you're busy during the show, maybe you're out shopping or mowing the lawn, and it's not something you can get to during our actual program, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time every Saturday, well, you can record a message, a question, and we'll address that during a subsequent broadcast. But we got a live caller, Michael in New York. Welcome. How you doing?
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. Yes, I have a question regarding my 60-year-old wife. She's 5'4", body mass index of 21. She's very active.
So she's slender. She's slender. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's very active. She runs 3 miles every day. Every weekday, she hikes, she walks, she does yoga. She's a vegetarian. She eats yogurt almost every day. She eats dairy and eggs.
So she's an ovo-lacto-vegetarian. She's not a vegan.
Correct. Yep. Yep. And for a number of years, she's been taking magnesium, calcium, vitamin D, multivitamin, vitamin B complex, vitamin K. Her blood tests all came back good for calcium and vitamin D. No evidence of celiac or thyroid disease.
Right. And that's important, by the way, because if she had celiac disease or if she had a thyroid disorder, that could cause her to have osteoporosis. So
thyroid is good also. I mentioned that. She's recently diagnosed with osteoporosis. Her T-scores are minus 3.5 to minus.
That's pretty bad. That's surprisingly bad, given
her
that she's a healthy
and
individual.
Sisters have osteoporosis, so it might be something with heredity.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
She just slipped last week and broke her wrist, and her endocrinologist recommends reclassed infusions once a year. I'm looking for your recommendations and input. This is all new to us.
Minus 3.5 is kind of bad, and she's actually had a fracture, so that might merit a little more aggressive action using a medication. Reclast is an IV medication which builds bone. It's sort of the IV equivalent of Vosamax, Actonel, Boniva. It's stronger. Unfortunately, it also has a higher association with osteonecrosis of the jaw, which is a nasty side effect of some of these medications. But usually, if you don't have recent dental implants or severe tooth problems, it's less likely to occur spontaneously. Look, you know, this is an example of someone who seems to be doing everything right. I mean, taking vitamin K and vitamin D and not a good diet. You know, if she was a strict vegan, I'd say, well, maybe she's just not getting enough protein. Protein's also a building block for bone. But with the dairy and with the eggs, that's an allocation of protein that might make the vegan diet work for her. You know, what's interesting about running isn't necessarily a bulwark against osteoporosis. It's more about weight-bearing exercises that seem to make a difference in terms of bone strength. So she might shift her exercise pattern to do more resistance exercise. That might actually help more. The missing element, well, you know, a couple of things. She might take strontium, but if she's going to take reclast, I wouldn't take strontium at the same time because then it'd be hard to know, you know, what's doing what. You know, is it the strontium? Is it the reclast? You don't need to take both simultaneously. What concerns me is, you know, if it was like a minus 2.6, you know, let's not jump the gun and use a very heavy-duty medication. But a minus 3.5 puts her relatively high risk for a fracture, which she actually had already in the wrist. Of course, wrist fractures are just sometimes a matter of hitting the ground hard and put your hand out in front of you, regardless of whether you have bone thinning. So other things that probably not on her regimen, she could take you know, plenty of olive oil, rich in polyphenols that build bone, or take an olive leaf extract that actually concentrates some of these agents that build bone. That's one of the things you could possibly take. Other things, for some women, we use DHEA. DHEA is an adrenal androgen that doesn't cause as much in the way of side effects as giving testosterone to women, which might cause acne or facial hair. DHEA also has bone strengthening effects. If her levels are low, we might give her some of that. But, you know, I got to say, it's a little bit of a dilemma. You know, do you want to try strontium for a while, for a year or two? And if it's not efficacious, go to the reclast. I mean, that's another way of doing this. You could try that route. 680 milligrams of strontium, that's two 340 milligram capsules at bedtime usually. The best way to take it. So there you go. Make sure vitamin D levels are optimal by measuring the vitamin D. Thanks for the call. And by the way, Michael, you presented the case very well, very like much like a medical professional. You gave me a great summary of all the things that you're doing. It's like it's, you know, kind of like presenting a case in med school or in medical training. You did it very succinctly. 877-726-8255 is our number. Speaking of medical professionals, they're having a hard time because according to a 312-page report released this last Tuesday by the National Academies of Sciences, as many as half of the country's doctors and nurses experience substantial symptoms of burnout. And the result is not good for you, the patients. It poses increased risk to you because you don't want a burnout doctor or nurse working for you because they're frustrated, they're angry, they're inattentive. This increases malpractice claims. There's lots of worker absenteeism and turnover. And it translates into billions of dollars in losses to the medical industry each year. Big problem. They found that between 35% and 54% of nurses and doctors experience burnout. And among medical students and residents, the majority experience burnout. The percentage is as high as 60%. You know, actually, medical training is synonymous with burnout. It's sort of deliberately inflicted burnout under the kind of spurious theory that if you can hack that under ordinary circumstances of practice, you'll do fine. I mean, try it with the, you know, crazy hours, sleep deprivation, lots and lots of emergencies and lots of stress. And if you make it through that hazing experience, you're going to do fine in medical practice later on. That's kind of the theory, still is the culture. Burnout costs the medical system $4.6 billion a year. And you know, what they suggest is some needed changes. Healthcare organizations should create executive-level chief wellness officers to monitor and protect clinicians' well-being and develop IT programs to reduce repetitive and redundant paperwork. See, that's another thing, is the EMRs, those electronic medical records that we're now slaves to, that we have to enter data day in, day out, sometimes not looking the patient in the eye. This is particularly frustrating for medical professionals. Also, the specter of malpractice and punishment and censure if you make a mistake, these weigh heavily on health professionals. So when we return, we're going to talk about waste in the U.S. healthcare system. We're also going to talk about a fascinating experiment that was undertaken at the Cleveland Clinic looking at a functional medicine clinic. Functional medicine, that's the kind of medicine that I've been promoting for, well, nigh on four decades here. And this broadcast started in the 1980s. We've been talking about what came to be known as functional medicine for so long. And finally, it's being tested at one of the top hospitals in America. We'll see in just a moment the results of that outcome study. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. Call us this hour next with your questions, your comments. This is Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar: glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a three-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics online, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers nationwide today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255 is our number. Now and always, you can call even when the show's not in the air, and you can record a question. In this week's Journal of the American Medical Association, a big story which is a problem, and then juxtaposed with it, another story which is a promising answer to that very problem. The problem is that the United States spends more on healthcare than any other country. Did you realize that 18% of the gross domestic product, the GDP, goes into healthcare costs in the United States? And that's only going to go up, because with the price of fancy cancer drugs and high-tech interventions, it's only going to go up. I mean, we're making progress, but progress comes at a cost. More expensive drugs, very, very pricey new high-tech interventions. And so 18% of our GDP. And this study looks at medical waste. I'm not talking about, you know, needles and used syringes and things like that. They're talking about the wastage in U.S. healthcare spending. And, you know, I have to say, I think this is a very precise study, elaborately conducted, but I think it's a gross underestimate of the amount of waste in the healthcare system. Still, it's enormous. The estimated total annual costs of waste were $760 billion to $935 billion. So that 935 is creeping up to the trillion-dollar range. They also estimated the savings that could be obtained by interventions that address waste. And unfortunately, you know, in a big, big system, there's going to be waste. And it's due to human error. It's due to greed. It's due to mistakes. It's due to padding, basically. Any big system, there's going to be waste. I mean, look at the Defense Department, right? You know, it's a tremendous amount of waste. But what they found was that they could reduce the waste by $191 billion to $282 billion. Now, that seems like a lot, but it's only a quarter of the waste could be reduced by measures that address waste. Okay, so story number two, this from Journal of the American Medical Association, is the culmination of a study that I've been aware has been underway for at least a couple of years. And it's about a new clinic they set up at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic Hospital in Cleveland. And the clinic is based on using functional medicine principles to treat patients. So what they did is they compared a large number of patients, over 7,000 in the functional medicine center, that's what they call it there at Cleveland Clinic, compared to an ordinary family health center in terms of outcomes. And what they found was very, very positive. The outcomes were dramatically improved in patients who attended the functional medicine clinic. So that really is the first time that a big medical journal has published a validation of the type of medicine that I practice and that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine. They call it functional medicine. You know, it's kind of evolved from holistic medicine, integrative medicine. We call it functional medicine. And the hallmarks of functional medicine are that all new patients see a registered dietitian and a health coach in addition to a regular clinician as part of their initial visit. And that this is something that I've been doing for the last 30 years. Patients also have to meet with a behavioral health therapist as part of any visit. So that's to sort of, you know, look at, you know, are there any behavioral barriers to compliance? You know, what's stopping you from doing the things that you know you need to do to get and stay healthy? So it's very cool. Patients seeking functional medicine, they say, may have exhausted all available opportunities in conventional medicine for their chronic diseases and perceive functional medicine as their only recourse. Yeah, I agree with that. And to the criticism that, well, you know, maybe these patients are just more affluent. Well, in this particular study, the median income level for patients seeking functional medicine was about $13,000 less than for those seeking care in a family health center. So it wasn't just, you know, smarter, more affluent patients. At the initial visit, patients have 60 to 75 minutes of clinician time compared with a much shorter duration in conventional care. All that is really important for achieving positive outcomes, lasting outcomes that can not just put a Band-Aid on patients' problems, but achieve long-lasting results and address chronic conditions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. 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 Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You can call us at 877-726-8255. We'll take some of those calls in just a few moments. But first, this is a mind-blowing study from the British Medical Journal. And it has to do with the relationship between depression and inflammation. And what they say here is they're not just talking about ordinary run-of-the-mill, low mood, you know, I'm having a bad day, I think negative thoughts. But people who are really hammered with depression have something called MDD. That's major depressive disorder. And it's one of the most common mental diseases. It affects approximately 6% of adults worldwide every year. Typical symptoms, depressed mood, lack of enjoyment called anhedonia, and lack of interest, apathy. And it is a leading contributor to disability. And they say here, in the introduction of the article, despite a wide variety of pharmacological and psychological treatments, around 30% of patients do not experience remission, and even treatment-responsive patients have high relapse and recurrence rates. They say that drugs are often ineffective and have side effects such as nausea, insomnia, weight gain, metabolic disorders like diabetes, cardiovascular toxicity, even suicide. And therefore, new treatments to improve efficacy and safety are urgently needed. So they're going on this theory that is well established that inflammation plays a role in depression. If you're body is inflamed, what's to say that your brain isn't inflamed? And that can cause problems with mood. And they cite here, I'm not going to belabor it because this is a lot of scientific jargon, but they find that patients who have MDD, major depressive disorder, have higher levels of things like interleukin-6 and C-reactive protein and tumor necrosis factor. All of these are inflammatory markers. And they say these findings suggest that inflammation contributes to depressive symptoms in patients with major depressive disorder and that anti-inflammatory agents may provide antidepressive effects. So they looked at a series of studies that evaluated the effects of these anti-inflammatory agents. Now, if you have inflammation, what are you going to do? You're going to take an Aleve, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. So they checked that out. They looked at the effects of statins, which, by the way, they work more by reducing inflammation than by lowering cholesterol. That's their dirty little secret. They actually are expensive aspirin, you know, because reducing C-reactive protein reduces cardiovascular disease. And they also looked at minocycline, which is a type of acne medication, which has anti-inflammatory effects, sometimes used in gum disease, too, for that reason. But they included, among the things they looked at, omega-3 fatty acids. And what they found is that all three of the aforementioned, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, omega-3 fatty acids, statins, and minocycline, had significant antidepressant effects in major depressive disorder. So I'm thinking that, you know, what are the implications of this for our natural treatment of depression? Well, first of all, anti-inflammatory diet, losing excess body fat, because we know that excess fat cells generate pro-inflammatory cytokines, which travel to the brain and worsen depression. And you can get in sort of a vicious cycle of metabolic disorder, weight gain, you become depressed, you lose your initiative, and you just become sort of a lump of lard. With an inflamed brain, we see that all the time. But if you can turn that around with diet change and exercise, the brain's going to become less inflamed, and the major depressive disorder symptoms will remit. Also, curcumin in studies, it's potent anti-inflammatory, been used in Alzheimer's trials, but also has bona fides in the treatment of depression, according to some studies. Olive oil, Mediterranean diet, which is these anti-inflammatory foods, Lots of fish, lots of healthy spices, fresh fruits and vegetables, and of course, olive oil, along with the resveratrol found in red wine. All of these exert anti-inflammatory effects. So, very cool study suggesting that depression really, we got to look at it as an inflammatory disorder. It's not just a matter of Prozac or Lexapro deficiency. The brain is on fire, and we need to quell the inflammation. You know, using non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, okay, fine. But, you know, a more natural way without the side effects associated with these drugs, because there are many, is a dietary approach and the use of certain select supplements along with exercise to address depression. All right, speaking of the Mediterranean diet, did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? You know, after all, it's a fruit. And, you know, you don't want stale fruit. But that's, unfortunately, the way olive oil is bottled and stored. It doesn't come to you fresh and fragrant. That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now, as a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil. It's normally $39 for just a buck. $1 with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They're far and away the brightest, most lively and flavorful olive oils that I've ever tasted. And their flavor signature is an indication that their antioxidant and polyphenol content is really off the charts, because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. You can taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for just a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. That's no understatement. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. And recently we talked about a study that shows that magnesium is effective in the treatment of depression. How pervasive is magnesium deficiency in the U.S. population? It's actually the most common deficiency in the U.S. diet. It may affect as many as 40-60% of Americans. They're getting suboptimal magnesium. This study from the latest edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it reinforces something that we've been talking about for a long time. Magnesium is a heart-healthy nutrient, protects the heart. It has anti-arrhythmic effects. It lowers blood pressure. It's necessary for healthy hearts. Headline: serum magnesium and the incidence of coronary artery disease over 27 years of follow-up. The longest study of its kind, looking at magnesium levels and the relationship to coronary artery disease cases. And what they found was, in this large community-based cohort, an updated meta-analysis, low circulating magnesium was associated with higher coronary artery disease as compared to higher magnesium. They leave the question open as to whether supplementing with magnesium is a useful strategy for coronary artery disease prevention. But that's the inference in the article. If you got low magnesium and you take some magnesium for heart support, that's going to make a crucial difference in your outcome. This item has to do with the waste inherent in our system. As a woman, you know, you're confronted with a dilemma. You know, how often should I get mammograms? And now when you go for a mammogram, they push these newfangled mammograms on you. They're what called 3D mammograms. And they're all the rage. And they're more expensive, but they show more detail. And so hospitals are investing in these more expensive mammogram units. And they're urging women to get the more accurate mammogram. So who in their right mind would opt for an inferior mammogram when you've got the superior technology of the 3D mammograms, even if you have to pay some more? Well, maybe your insurance company's going to pick up the tab. Maybe your copay is a little higher, but you're going to say, give me the best possible breast cancer detection method, state of the art. Well, then this goes to the question of waste in our healthcare system. According to a Kaiser Health News investigation, over the past 6 years, manufacturers of 3D equipment have paid doctors and teaching hospitals more than $240 million, including $9.2 million related to 3D mammograms. The money went to research, but some paid for speaking fees, consulting, travel, meals, or drinks, basically to encourage doctors to order 3D mammograms. They had about $50 of cost to the typical mammogram, but what they found was that the new technology isn't always better. Hospitals love new gadgets, according to Diana Zuckerman, president of the Cancer Prevention and Treatment Fund of the National Center for Health Research. Hospitals love new gadgets, and 3D mammograms have been promoted as the latest, greatest, best thing, she told Fox Business. It's expensive, and they're going to pass these prices along onto patients. What they say here is that there is little evidence that the endpoint of saving more lives has been achieved by pushing this new expensive technology. So, yeah, it's just another instance of, you know, we always opt for the latest, greatest, the newest drug, the most sophisticated imaging techniques, generally hiking costs. But ultimately, are the interests of the patients being served? In this case, it's not entirely clear. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. As I told you, our number is 877-726-8255. But if you can't call actually during the precise time of the show, which is from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time, you can call that number, 877-726-8255, anytime, 24-7, and you can record a question as this caller did. I think it's a question about CBD. Hello.
Dr. Hoffman. How healthy is CBD oil for the heart? For instance, is there a good relationship between the three omega-3 and 6s? And how does it stack up with, let's say, olive oil? In other words, is that oil healthy for the heart? Thank you.
Okay. Boy, yeah, that's a really great question. So you you know, it's World Series season and you threw me a high hanging curveball, I'm going to hit it out of the park because I'm a big proponent of CBD. And, you know, you mentioned other things that are healthy for the heart. And we know that olive oil is healthy for the heart. Actually, one of the problems with a recent study that showed that fish oil pills were no better than placebo is because the placebo was olive oil. You know, so they said, well, take, you know, the one group got the fish oil pills and one group got the olive oil pills. And there wasn't that much difference in terms of their outcomes. Well, they both may have benefited from the, you know, the olive oil versus the fish oil. They may have similar benefits to the heart. So when it comes down to CBD, I mean, what is CBD not good for? I mean, it's one of those panacea type things. So in response to your question, I just looked up a study that is from the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology. The year is 2013. Is the cardiovascular system a therapeutic target for cannabidiol? And, you know, we know that cannabidiol is a hemp-derived substance. Hemp is rich in CBD, and it's related to the marijuana plant, which is also rich in THC. With the hemp plant, you don't get much of the THC, very, very little, you know, tiny, infinitesimal amount, but you get all the CBD. And they say here in this study, CBD has beneficial effects in disorders as wide-ranging as diabetes, Huntington's disease, cancer, and colitis. Accumulating evidence now also suggests that CBD is beneficial in the cardiovascular system. It works on the arteries, causing vasorelaxation. In other words, expansion, kind of like, you know, nitric oxide. The CBD protects against vascular damage caused by a high glucose environment. You just run around with high blood sugar, it's going to damage your arteries, but CBD may protect against that. So they say a common theme throughout these studies is the anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects of CBD. In the heart, CBD treatment protects against ischemia reperfusion damage. Those are experiments in which they tie off coronary arteries in experimental animals, and then they let the blood flow again. That's similar to what happens when people have a heart attack or when people undergo a bypass surgery. And also, CBD treatment protects against cardiomyopathy associated with diabetes. CBD has been shown to reduce infarct size. In other words, experimental models of heart attacks, pretreatment with CBD seems to reduce the size of the necrotic heart muscle. Similarly, in models of stroke, there is a reduction in the amount of damage that occurs during a stroke, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They say, taken together, these preclinical data appear to support a positive role for CBD treatment in the heart and in the peripheral circulation. So, you know, that may be one of the ancillary benefits of taking CBD. And I have here for you, and I was planning to talk about it, so this is a good point in which to introduce this. Headline, this is from the Parkinson's Organization. Parkinson's UK, the largest charitable funder of Parkinson's research in Europe, is partnering with King's College London and investigating £1.2 million in a phase two clinical trial of CBD for Parkinson's disease. They say this is the first large-scale trial which will aim to provide preliminary evidence for the potential benefits and safety of CBD to alleviate the symptoms of Parkinson's-related psychosis characterized by hallucinations and delusions. So they say the pretty common problem in Parkinson's hallucinations involve people hearing or feeling things that are not really there. They develop delusions, fixed beliefs that are not true. So this can be very frightening and distressing for people with Parkinson's and their families. And unfortunately, it's often managed with the removal of medication used to treat Parkinson's. In other words, this is actually not a consequence of the Parkinson's. It's often a result of the medications. Also, antipsychotic drugs are sometimes used, but this is to the detriment of patients with Parkinson's because these drugs can make you gain weight, become diabetic, and cause worsened motor control and other side effects. They say that there are no medications licensed for Parkinson's related psychosis in the UK, and therefore they're trying out CBD as a means of, you know, it has anti-anxiety effects, and maybe the anti-anxiety effects will be efficacious for Parkinson's patients who are experiencing these hallucinations and delusions. That's a study underway. Is it designed to fix or reverse Parkinson's disease? No, more to cope with the symptoms that Parkinson's patients experience, but a fascinating study nonetheless, which illustrates the versatility of CBD. We use it for sleep, we use it for anxiety, for muscle aches, fibromyalgia, a variety of conditions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number, and we'll be right back for part two of today's program.